But there's three places I want to show you here that God pointed out to me that it might help you. Some of this reading is, you know, we read the verses already as before the world was and all that, you know, there's before you was formed in the womb, in the belly, before you come from the womb and all that, and before there was anything. If you can take for just a minute and just see the universe, the heavens, no people, no trees, no sun, no clouds, no highways, no houses, no cats and cattle and dogs, nobody, no nothing, no grocery stores, no food, no cities or skyscrapers, just the universe. And I went in to look a little bit about this, and from the astronomers, and astronomers say that there are literally millions and billions of stars in the heavens. I've not counted them, but that's what they say. Millions of galaxies in the heavens, millions of planets. And if you will go on your YouTube and or Google or whatever and listen up to the sounds that are in space, some of the most eerie, frightening, gory sounds that the sun is making and the earth is making and the planets that are zinging past each other thousands of miles a second. All that was there. God was just there. He was just there. Nothing else. Just there. And the writer here wrote in 2nd Song of Solomon, and I wasn't going to read this verse, but I think I may ought to. 2nd Song, chapter of Song of Solomon, verse 7. This is God talking. He said, I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. Now that's enough reading. Go read ahead of me. God was there. The planets. You would be amazed. You can't hear when it's in outer space. You can't. Sound don't travel. It don't travel. Don't go that way. But scientists and astronomies, whatever word you call them, they know how to detect sound in space. Some of the most frightening, scary sounds. I mean, just loud, screeching like 1,000 dinosaurs. Sun burning. You could put 103 planet Earths in the sun. Now, I know some of that they got wrong because they said that the sun's life expectancy is halfway. I thought, you got that wrong, mister. It ain't never going out. But that ain't my point. But all this was there and out of nowhere. God said, don't awake my love till he please. And I want you to look at me in verse 8 now, the next verse. Look at what God said. The voice of my beloved. Hold it. What's the next thing printed on your word, on your page after the word beloved? A what? No, not the next word. The next thing printed on your page. A what? An exclamation mark. That's in the Bible. When the Bible was first written, they didn't use those punctuations in Scripture. Well, until about the 1500s of the research I found, where they begin to put the punctuation in the Scripture. And the exclamation mark simply means this. Punctuation is included in modern Bible translations to enhance readability and clarify the intended meaning of the original text. The word exclamation means this. An abrupt, excited utterance. A word, phrase, or sentence that expresses strong emotion like joy or surprise or shock. Right over here, he said, the voice of my beloved. Wasn't another sound nowhere on planet Earth. You were with him. He heard you. He heard you. He knew you. The voice of my beloved. That's excitement. That's exciting. God, the writers knew how to put the exclamation mark there to bring out the intent of the words. Now, if you follow me and read my texts that I send, I never use punctuation. You don't know where I stop and start. I don't text that much, and those that know me know how to read me. God, the voice of my beloved, he heard you. I'm going somewhere if you just ride with us a little bit more. The voice of my beloved, he heard you. He said, don't, he told him, he spoke it. There was nobody there. This before you was there, before anything, but he said, the voice of my beloved, amongst all the screeching of the roaring of the planets and the universe and all that's there, God heard the voice of his beloved. He heard you. And he was excited. What's the next word he said? He said, behold, comma, look. Look, God said, look. Look. This is how God sees you. Before you really can begin, I think, Pastor, to maybe we can understand how God loves us. You can't just tell a man God loves you. You got to show him somehow. You got to break something down to him. Word and indeed. You got to cause that transaction to take place. God loves you. You can't just throw that out there. God said, the voice. Oh, I've been since May, I've prayed this, I've preached this, I've cried this, I've wept this, I've done everything. The voice of my beloved. Oh God. Next word he said, behold, look what he said. He said, look at him. He cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. What poetic vernacular. That's the way God sees you. Out of all the sounds of the universe that could be made in the black holes and Brother Wes Bryant things that I couldn't begin to tell nothing about. I just see a star is all I know. But there are millions and billions of stars according to the way it's told us. Out of all the things that are in the heavens that are so mind-boggling when you begin to look at it and see it, some of it in the solar system, our solar system, our sun, and all that goes with that, and all the activities that are there, it's alive. The heavens are alive. It's almost like it doesn't have, but it's almost like it's got a heartbeat. It's alive. Declares the glory of God. In the heavens are written about him. You can understand him by understanding the heavens. I don't mean to get into what's that other thing. Well, forget it. Maybe nobody think of it. Some of you probably did. I'm not going to go there. But in the heavens, you can see God. I think one place in the New Testament, he told them that, didn't he? See, he told all of us, he said, you discern between when it's going to rain. All this is by the heavens. We read that from the skies, from the moons and the stars and the planets and the poles and the negative polarity and all that's up there. It's almost like a living thing declaring who God is. But out of all that noise, God said, the voice of my beloved. Which one? That one I read to you about in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1 and 5, Jeremiah 29, 11, Jeremiah 31 and 3. That's the beloved I'm talking about. You. My beloved, behold, look how he just, what he saw you, how he sees you. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains. Is that not so? Is that, I wonder, how do you, I know he's God, I understand that part, but such framing of words. How am I going to be leaping upon the mountains? How am I going to do that? How am I going to skip on the hills? How, you know, skip. You ever do any skipping? How many's ever skipped? Been a long time since I skipped. Believe it or not, I practiced before I got here tonight. Not just today. It might have been a few days ago, but I've practiced before I got here. And skipping really make you look a little foolish. You want to try it? But look what he said. Is that not the word? He cometh leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. That's the way that God sees you. That's the thoughts that he thinks of you. That's the way he sees you. That's the way he thinks about you. You are the most magnificent creation that God ever created. Is you. You, right who you are tonight. Right the way you are tonight. Not when you get another 50 years on you, but now. If you're a teenager, if you're a preteen, right now. If you're middle-aged, if you're young married, right now, that's the way God looks at you. Let's see here. He said he come leaping up on the mountains. Oh, God. Nobody, do you understand? Maybe that's too much. I don't know. Maybe that's thinking too far. Maybe that's thinking too much. I'm saying, God didn't say, somebody told me you was doing this. God said, this is the way I behold you. He said, behold, look at my beloved. He cometh that away. That's the way God sees you. Right in the middle of your storm. Right in the middle of your battle. The real you, not the flesh, but the real woman, the real man, the real boy, the real girl. God sees you with such of a victory and such a power and such a joy and such of a position and such confidence. What confidence do you have to have? Pastor, you probably, like me as a kid, skipped around, you know, the yard playing little games, whatever. In the schoolyard, seeing different ones skip around. There's no doubt you couldn't do that if you were beat down and sad and discouraged and you knew you was going to get a whipping when you got home for some reason. But you probably never got none of them much. Skipping didn't come too easy that day, did it? But this right here is the way that God sees his beloved. Skipping, that is the right word, skipping upon the hills, leaping upon the mountains. God, you know